Oh, that man would praise the Lord. Good to be here tonight and to think about the goodness of God, even in the midst of the difficult things that we read about here in Psalm 107. Well, we bring greetings to each one in Jesus' name again this evening. Glad you're here and ready to worship and continue our worship of the Lord. Let's begin with our theme song, number 396. I think tonight we're going to sing verses 1 and 2 of 396. Peace comes from. We know whom we believe. We know where our peace comes from. It comes from Jesus Christ and his indwelling presence in our lives. And it's a challenge that faces us as we sing that song and as we look at our lives. Well, tonight I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6 for an opening thought here tonight. I'd like to go to Proverbs chapter 6 and begin reading at verse 20. I've titled the message tonight, Playing with Fire, and I'd like to preach a message, bring a message tonight on purity, moral purity, and I'd like to start reading here in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire into his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief, if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is as the rage of a man. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. I'd like to use verses 27 and 28 for sort of as a text verse tonight. We're going to go back to them sometimes through the message. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Playing with fire. As I was preparing for revival meetings and thinking about sermons to preach, as I came to Winchester, this sermon wasn't on my radar. In fact, I spent most of the day today studying another sermon, and finally this afternoon, it felt like God kind of knocked me between the eyes and said, I want you to preach on moral purity. And so I shifted gears and thought about these verses here in Proverbs. One Friday evening, I'd say it was about 10 years ago, I was on to preach on Sunday back at Mount Joy. I lived in Ohio at that time. I was on to preach on Sunday there at home, and I had a real burden to preach on moral purity. And as I was at work that day and going about my business there, I kept thinking about these two verses that we just read in Proverbs chapter 6. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? And I was thinking about moral purity, and I was asking God to give me a word picture, something to establish in our minds, a picture, a reality, something we can get our minds wrapped around in a natural way to help us understand the burden behind being morally pure. And as I left work that evening and I pulled out on the highway and I had about an hour's drive home and I was on to preach on Sunday and this is Friday afternoon and it's heavy on my heart, I pulled out on the highway on the State Route 30 there from Doughton, got out on the highway and began to look to the east. I'm heading home. And I look off in the distance ahead of me and suddenly I saw a little plume of smoke on the horizon. Saw a little plume of smoke coming up, just a little black plume of smoke. And I thought, I wonder what's going on. And my curiosity was piqued because I know all these people that live in this area. And I was thinking, someone's barn's on fire. And I've got to preach on Sunday. And so I decided I'm going to just go home. And as I headed east on 30 and you go about 2 miles and Route 30 makes a slight bend to the right, crosses into Stark County. And as I started around that bend to the right, I began to realize that I was going to go right past this fire. And about the time that I realized I was going to go past the fire, suddenly there was a great big cloud of black smoke that rose up and flames shot up into the air. And I went on down the road about 2 or 3 miles to Alabama Avenue. And there sitting on the exit ramp on the westbound side across the road there was a Frito-Lay potato chip truck sitting there on the shoulder, or what was left of it. It's a natural gas-powered semi. And the fire was hot. It sounded like a massive acetylene torch. The roar was loud. The flames were high. And the truck was just disintegrating into pieces. And suddenly I realized that I'm going to be driving on the other side and that truck has got big tanks with natural gas in and I'm not waiting around to see what happens. And I got out of there and went on past. But I drove down the road after I passed that truck and I thought about it. What could have caused the fire? See, I work in a repair shop. I worked in a repair shop there. So immediately you start trying to figure out what went wrong. I thought there probably was some wires that rubbed somewhere on that truck. Or else there was a connector that shorted out. And there was some heat that took place. And there was some smoldering that went on. There was a spark that was there. And somehow or another that spark ignited into a flame. And it severed somehow or another. There was a natural gas line that had been severed with that fire. And the flame, that natural gas was feeding the flame with high pressure. I know those trucks fuel down in Canton on their way back to the shop. And so this truck was completely full of natural gas. The scene of that truck ablaze left a vivid picture in my mind of the devastating results of spark and fuel will have outside the confounds of where they're intended to be. And tonight I'd like to think for a few minutes here, thinking about playing with fire. I'd like to just think for a few minutes about the way God has designed us with a desire for physical relationships. At creation, God created man. We had Adam that was created. We go back to Genesis chapter 1 and we read the story there, how God created man. And God created man and he created the rest of the creation. And for Adam, it says there was no helpmeet. But God looked down, and as he had created man, he looked at Adam, and he and the Godhood had talked together, and they said, "It is not good that man should be alone. Let's make a helpmeet for him. I will make an helpmeet for him." God placed the desire for a physical relationship within each one of us as a positive and beautiful part of our makeup. And we see God creating Eve, Adam's wife and companion. And she alone could fill the desires for a relationship that God had placed within Adam's heart. And she found security and fulfillment as well in her relationship with her husband. God created something beautiful within us, a desire for a physical relationship between man and wife. I'd like to read a few verses found in Proverbs chapter 5. We're here at Proverbs chapter 6. We're just going to read a couple verses in Proverbs chapter 5. In verse 15, it says, "Drink water out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." And so here we have Solomon in poetic form sharing about the exclusive relationship between husband and wife. Solomon admonishes those who are married to enjoy life together. He says, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth." He's talking about a husband and wife relationship that is alive and flourishing and healthy and a joy. Find fulfillment together, he says here, and satisfaction in the physical union of marriage, knowing that just as God's smile of approval was on us as single individuals before marriage, as we kept ourselves pure, so God's smile of approval and blessing is on a marriage relationship that is beautiful and brings fulfillment to husband and wife. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9 says, "Live joyfully with a wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun." We have another familiar verse that I'm just throw in here as well. Hebrews 13, verse 4. "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." So here God draws a clear line, a very clear line. Physical relationships between man and women are honorable in marriage, but outside of a marriage relationship, it is sin, and God will not tolerate sin. He says, "But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." This evening I want to compare the feelings between a man and a woman as a fire. I want to compare it as a fire. I don't know how you find it, but when we have a fire around our place, people like to play with fire. You have a brush fire going on, and you have, it doesn't even have to be teenage boys. It can be 40-year-old men around. And someone suggests throwing a 2-liter bottle of gas on the fire. Somehow or another, when you're sitting around a campfire, there's something within us. There's something within us that demands that we pick up a piece of metal or a stick and we poke at that fire. We can't sit there without doing it. Or we could. But it's our natural inclination. Playing with fire seems to be in our human makeup. Now, probably this side realizes it more, but I think all of us got here tonight. We came here tonight by the aid of both fire and fuel. All of us came here tonight by the aid of both fire and fuel. But this fire and fuel was contained in a combustion chamber inside the engine under the hood of our vehicles. And in this way, there was a fire, there was explosions going on. There was spark and there was fuel and there was explosions going on. But because it was contained inside of a combustion chamber under the hood of our vehicle, we rode here in comfort tonight. And that little four-cylinder or six-cylinder or eight-cylinder motor up there chugged along. And we came along in comfort. Now tonight, I enjoy mechanics, and if I was going to give you a little demonstration of how this worked, I could decide tonight that I'm going to give you a demonstration of how this works with the fuel and the fire. And I could have grabbed our space heater out of our shop and took that little spark igniter out of that space heater and plugged into the wall and wired that thing up out here, and I could have grabbed me a 20-ounce bottle of gasoline and cracked that lid open and had that space heater, that coil hot on that space heater, and just dripped a little drip of fuel to try to show you how this works. As that injector inside that in that engine sprays that little mist of gas in your combustion chamber. And I could have tried to demonstrate by just dripping a little gas here. And we all know what would have happened. That flame would have shot up and ignited that bottle. And in about 15 seconds, we'd be evacuating the building. And I'd probably, if I lived to tell the story, I'd probably have scars that would go with me for the rest of my life. We mentioned the controlled flame. We mentioned tonight about God placing within us this desire for relationships. God placing within us this desire for relationships. I believe that God places within each one of us this desire for a relationship. And it's like a little pilot light. I don't know how your hot water heaters are, but ours, the pilot light just stays lit all the time. It just burns in there all the time. And it's not a whole lot, but it's a flame that's down there. And that's a little bit how it is with that relationship, that desire for relationships within us. That desire for relationships within us. The pilot light that God places within each one of us is burning, becoming physically involved is the fuel for the fire. Becoming physically involved is the fuel for the fire. And we want to just think about that tonight as we think about playing with fire and moral purity. Friends, this evening, when we take the fire of a desire to love and be loved that God has placed inside of each one of us, and we add the fuel of physical contact with the opposite gender, even something as seemingly innocent as holding hands, the flame will begin to ignite. The flame will begin to enlarge. Tonight I want to especially talk to you youth, and also to the parents of the youth tonight. Because I sense within us, as I look across the scope of the conservative churches, I sense within us a loss for a clear-cut line when it comes to physical relationships and courtship especially. I sense within the context of the conservative groups kind of a feeling like, is it really all that important to ask our young people to leave physical contact completely off the plate until they're married and ask them for hands-off courtship? You know, as we come to the age of the youth and we go into our we think about courtship, and we go into our Christian bookstores, there's a lot of good books that talk about keeping intimate relationships for marriage. But a lot of those books will not draw the line at hands off. They'll draw the line quite a bit farther down the road. We're hearing less about hands-off courtship inside our conservative churches. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he wrote his version of hands-off courtship. He said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But he says, if a man wants to touch a woman, then he needs to marry her for the privilege. Now that's me paraphrasing that, but if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, 2, and on past there, he says, it's good for a man not to touch a woman, but if he wants the privilege, it comes with the responsibility of marriage. I'm just going to share this along with that. We believe a man and woman should enter into a courtship relationship with their eyes wide open. So the purpose of courtship, the message tonight is going to be is going to be mostly to our youth, but I also want it for us as fathers and us as parents of the young people. But the purpose for courtship is what? It's to get to know each other. It's to get to know if we're compatible with each other. Now, we can't go back to the scripture and find scripture and verse that tells us that's how you're supposed to do your courtship, because in scripture, I guess the parents went out and found a wife for their son, and that's not our culture. But I believe we have a safe place for our culture when we go into courtship, realizing that its purpose is to learn to know each other, to know where we are at spiritually, to know where we're at in our likes and dislikes, to know whether or not we're compatible to work with each other. And we should enter into courtship with our eyes wide open, and we should go through courtship with our eyes wide open. And we should come to the marriage altar with our eyes wide open. Even after we've promised, we've agreed to marry, and we're in the engagement period, we should still have our eyes wide open. And I would just say tonight that inside of our circles, courtship has an expectation once it goes into a few months to end in marriage. And we shouldn't expect that. Courtship is meant to be a time of learning to get to know each other. And it is proper and it is a right courtship practice if 4 months into it, the couple realizes it doesn't look like we're meant for each other, and they break it off. That doesn't mean they committed some horrible sin. During courtship, we also observe the way the friend relates to us and to others. A young man who is not exclusive in his love for you as his special friend, but flirts with other girls, will likely respond the same way when you're married. I would just say that is a given. If a young man is not committed completely to you, or if a young woman is not committed to you, young man, in your courtship, and he's not exclusive in the courtship, do not expect them to change after the marriage altar, to somehow miraculously change. A young lady who degrades her dad will likely grow up to be a wife who dishonors her husband as well, even if her dad has some flat spots. Because, young man, you will have some flat spots too. At least all the rest of us men have that get married. But back to our position on hands-off courtship. When a couple begins to connect on a physical level, the physical and emotional connection will override the cautious and eyes wide open approach to courtship. Write it down. When a courtship goes and begins to have a physical element to it, the eyes wide open, cautious approach to courtship will end. Many an individual has gone to the marriage altar after falling in love, only to find a life of regrets as they enter into the reality of being married for life to a self-centered individual, or being that self-centered individual themselves. I just want to encourage you young people, as you enter into courtship, be open with your parents. Find an older couple, maybe one of your grandparents, or someone who models a relationship that you want to have, to sit down with and talk about dating practices and things that they would see as valuable helps to bring us to build a strong relationship. Look around you, young men and young women, as you approach courtship, and find an older couple, preferably right inside your church group, or one of your grandparents, that models what you'd like to look like 20, 50, 70 years down the road if God gives you that much time. And sit down with them and ask them what it takes for courtship and marriage to be built on the solid rock that will last, and what it takes to have an enjoyable courtship and marriage. When we bring the fuel of physical contact to the fire of a desire for love, the flame will ignite. The flame will call for more fuel, and it will take us to places we never dreamed we would go to. That's one of the things that God has designed within the bodies of us human individuals, is that as a couple, as a dating couple, if a courting couple decides they're going to hold hands, eventually that won't satisfy. That's God's work. That's the way God designed our bodies to work. He designed us to be drawn together to a physical relationship. And so it goes one step, a little bit more and a little more. And it leads us to a place that we need to reserve ourselves for after the marriage altar. When this flame is ignited outside the marriage bond of one man and one wife, as God prescribed, it will lack a controlled environment. And left unchecked, it will quickly blaze out of control. It will create guilt and shame, and the results will always be devastating. You can count on that. Satan may try to convince you that your circumstances will produce different results, but he's only fooling you. God has established the boundaries that surround moral purity, along with the results of an immoral lifestyle. And they will never change. And he very clearly states, the way of the transgressor is hard. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And remember those verses that we read there in Proverbs chapter 6. Can a man take fire in his bosom? Think about this in a physical sense. If I was here tonight and there was a log on the fire here, and I was to walk over and pick it up, and it's kind of hot, and so I just kind of got it in my suit coat, and I held it right here, what would happen? Can I do it and not be burned? No. If we had a barbecue pit up here and we took the grate off and there was a bed of hot coals and you came up here and ran across them, I have a feeling that 20 years from now you could still show us the scars on your feet. It'd be painful today. The pain would subside, but the scars would remain. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not burn? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Earlier we mentioned the verse in Hebrews 13 where God declares judgment on whoremongers and adulterers. And the interesting thing is, when you read that verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it talks about whoremongers and adulterers. The Greek word that's translated whoremonger here in Hebrews is pornos, which is the root word of our English word pornography. And so Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, where it says, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. It could be translated this way. Marriage is honorable in all, and physical relationships inside these perimeters are sanctioned by God. But those who stimulate their bodies through the use of pornographic literature or physical relationships outside the bond of marriage will experience God's wrath. That's what that verse means in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Friends, this evening I make a plea to all of us. Keep yourself pure. Give no room for the devil to get a hold, a grip in your heart. You'll never regret drawing a hard line. Well, tonight, for the last part of the message, I want to end on a positive note. We have this idea of fire and fuel, and we talked a little bit about the devastation that takes place and the need for us to keep our eyes wide open. I want to look just a little bit in closing tonight at some positive helps to maintaining a pure life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I want to leave that verse as a key to maintaining a pure life. God is able. God is able, but will God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. God will make a way for you to maintain purity in your life. The key is having God in your life. The key is having a God consciousness in your life. An understanding I thought about as I was studying for the message tonight, I thought about Joseph. And Joseph was there at Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife asked him to commit sin with her. And he said, "How can I do this great evil? Because my master will find out?" No! And sin against God. God's looking down here. I can't do it. You and I need a relationship with God. If we're going to be faithful in our generation in purity, we need a relationship with God that surpasses the accountability that we find from our brotherhood, even though that's valuable. And before we think about the fact that Brother Sherwin might find out, we need to think about God. God's looking. He knows. In fact, he knows my thought already. God will not share his position with anyone or anything. Either he is Lord of all, or he is not Lord of all, Lord at all. I think we need to be real with ourselves tonight that temptations will come. And especially in the area of moral purity, we are no match for our flesh, nor against Satan on our own strength. But God is faithful and will make a way to escape. It's also very important to cultivate a strong awareness that God sees everything. And like we said, Joseph cried out and said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 as well to read a couple verses there. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or naked peril, or nakedness, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think one of the things that's key in our minds as we think about this battle for purity is that it's more than just a physical battle. Satan is determined to corrupt our lives. There is nothing, when he can get us to commit moral sin, it is difficult for us to find our way. The pieces become hard to put back together at times. But principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God if we're in our hearts are committed to a daily, sincere walk with the Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. It takes our choice to allow Satan to get a toe grip in our lives. And it's especially so in the area of moral purity. Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, gives us the power to say no. But you and I have to choose. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. John wrote to the churches in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tonight, I just want to give the opportunity, if there's anyone here tonight that knows in their heart in this area of moral purity that they've not been clean, that they've been living in sin, that they've allowed their flesh to rise up and to take Satan's bait. God wants to cleanse our hearts. Through the power of God, we can have victory. We can be forgiven. The shame that goes along with an immoral life can be freed from us. It can be gone. And we can live in the power of Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Tonight, where are you at when it comes to moral purity? Have you been playing with fire? If Jesus were to come back tonight for his bride, are we ready? That's the burden I want to leave here tonight. I'm going to just ask you to bow your heads, and I'm going to have a prayer. If there's anyone here tonight that knows in their hearts they're not ready to meet God in this area of moral purity, just ask you to stand to your feet and acknowledge that, and I'd be glad to talk with you after prayer. Let's bow our